Hello again, everyone. Welcome back to the Raw Stories podcast. It is me, your host, Fungi Mettler. Thank you for being on this journey with me and all the wonderful people that we have been speaking to. It's incredible just to see how far we've come, and June will make it a year since we launched. Can you believe that? It's been an amazing journey. Every week we come by and we talk about different topics, we talk to different people, and today is no different. And you may be wondering, if it's your first time tuning in, what is the Raw Stories podcast? Well, this is a place where we acknowledge where we're coming from by telling stories followed by lessons. We talk to people that are making a difference in one way or another, that are discovering their purpose, paving their own paths, and just like our guests today. So this is what we do on the Raw Stories podcast, and thank you for tuning in. We're speaking to Mona Dawood today, and she is just simply incredible, amazing, beautiful, lovely, warm, calm. I can't say enough about her. Beyond all my warm feelings about Mona, she's really committed to a sustainable and more humane world. And you can imagine that's why I relate to her so well. And she really believes we can create such a world that is sustainable and more humane through personal development, through mindfulness, and a general change in mindset. She founded Mona Dawood Consulting. She co-founded Design Your Purpose, and she has been involved in various social impact related initiatives over the last couple of years. And in these initiatives, she's providing counseling, she's facilitating workshops, and she guides people in the journey towards inner sustainability, well-being, and well-doing. Guys, it is such an honor to have Mona on the podcast today. Mona, welcome, and thank you for taking the time to be with us.
Oh my God, thank you so much, Fungi. And thank you so much for inviting me, and also to introduce me in such a way. It's just like, wow, a compliment shower.
It's all you.
Oh my God. Yeah, it's, you know, like when you are in the process of doing things, you don't really think about your accomplishments. And when you introduced me, I was like, oh, wow, I did some pretty good things.
You're so humble. You've been incredible and impressive. And it's so lovely to have you. So why don't you tell us, you know, where does your journey begin? Where does the story of Mona begin?
That's such a good question, Fungi, really. And I want to share, you know, we are raised in a linear thinking, so something starts and something ends. And the older I get, the more experience I get, I believe more and more that our journey is not really linear, but more a circular journey. So the question where my journey starts is really difficult, because I had different phases, different journeys at different ages. I'm like, I don't even know where to start. Even though I look young, I feel sometimes like I'm 90.
I have to say, you've been speaking literally for 5 seconds and you've already blown my mind. So kudos. Please keep going.
So maybe I would like to start with my Somali roots. When I was a child, we left home. We left the country where I was born due to civil war. So we fled the country, and we spent several years like looking for a second home. That was like a phase of my life. And then I came to Switzerland, where I could like grow up and get school education. That was like a second bigger journey. And those two journeys impacted me a lot in different ways. And through my journey, where I grew up outside of Somalia, where we fled the war, I saw a lot. I saw different people. We were in different countries, different cultures, mentalities, religions. And I was stunned by the way people behave, you know, in different places and areas, people behave different. And at the same time, we're humans. We are people. we care about the same things. And at the end of the day, we're looking for the same. We're looking for shelter. We're looking for food. We're looking for love. We're looking for belonging. We were looking for value and community and gathering together, and also the purpose of our own lives, you know. And since I was a child, I was observing all these things. I was a very curious child. I am still a curious person, and that led me actually to ask questions and explore everything that life served me. And I'm still on a journey, actually. My journey didn't really finish.
So, I'm really glad to hear that. I'm really glad to hear that, because I feel like your journey is one to look out for and to really watch and learn from. You talk a lot about, you know, how as a child you were curious and you wanted to learn and explore. What does that really sound like? What were the things you were curious about and how did you pursue them?
So I remember a day I was 3 years old and I was in the garden of our house. And then suddenly I realized that human beings are like, you know, they don't behave like the tree does. It sounds maybe a little bit awkward, but, you know, human beings, they have rules. There's so much that they are doing, which is actually like kind of a nonsense. But they are still doing it, you know, because it's a social thing. So I was there and asking myself, like, why are human beings behaving this way? And I was like kind of a tree kid. I was hanging so much around the trees. I was a lot outside. And that was like the day where this kind of, you know, the curiosity just exploded. So what I did was just observing, watching people. Watching how they talk, how they walk, what they say to each other, what gets them upset, what gets them happy. And I was like, oh, okay, oh, wow. And my grandmother influenced me as well. She was a, how do you say that? She was a religious person, but she was very, you know, she was very into the literature of the Islam. So she was reading a lot every day. And I also was wondering about her, you know, why is this old lady reading every day so many hours? I mean, I couldn't stand out that, you know, like I was so energetic and just jumping around and bumping around. And I was like, whoa, okay. Yeah. So that was like my first encounter with a conscious curiosity. Conscious curiosity, because I believe like everybody's curious, but there's a difference if you like explore your live out your curiosity.
Right. And so you're observing people, and you come from, you know, like you move into Switzerland from Somalia, and you're looking at people in Switzerland and you're looking at people in Somalia, and you're like, well, this is ridiculously similar. Let's talk about some of those similarities and I suppose differences that you identified from both ends.
So similarities are, you know, the need to belong, the need for shelter, the need for love, the need for social gatherings, the need for being well, the need for reaching out to whatever you want to encounter, whatever you want to achieve. And then the expectations are also there, you know, like what does the society expect from one? What does the society expect from an individual? What should one reach, etc.? So the needs are actually the same. They're just packaged differently. Let's say in the Somali culture, as a woman, it's very important that you found a family, that you become a wife, that you are a good mother, that you take care of the family, that you get married. And then in the Swiss culture, these are also important, but not the same. They don't have the same importance like in the Somali culture. But in the Swiss culture, then there are other things like that are important, but it's actually like the same thing, you know. Having a career is very important. Being really good at your job, getting a good education is very important. So why do the people do that? Just because they want to belong to a group. They want to belong. They want to be part of, you know. So and that the need is actually the same, but they are packaged in different ways, you know. That's so in the Somali culture, also getting education, going to work, having a career is also important, but it's like the opposite, you know. It's like somehow the opposite.
Like it's amazing. The reason is the same. The way to get there may be different, but we are all pursuing more or less the same thing. I read a very interesting quote today from someone called Jackson Brown, and it said something like, remember that everyone you meet is afraid of something, loves something, and has lost something. Everyone you meet. And I found that really strong. Everyone is afraid of something, loves something, and has lost something. When you think about it this way, I think it combines our humanity in the way that you're talking about, because we have these similar experiences that are shaped by where we are at any given point in time. So having been shaped by both these cultures, would you say you identify to one more than the other? Or how do you navigate both? Because you're born in Somalia, you come to Switzerland, you've been here so long, you have like the dual nationality and dual identity, so to speak, or maybe it's one identity just made up of two different things. Just what is that like for you?
So I really like what you said, you know, that Jackson Brown, I really have to check him out. And it's absolutely that we have so much more similar. We have so much more in common than what separates us, you know. But then in separation, people can be controlled, you know. People can be manipulated. People can be influenced, because separation always comes out of fear. You know, so when I fear you, I'm like, oh, she's different. And then I can fear you. And then I can also be manipulated and controlled. You know, someone else can tell me, oh, you know, Fungai, you know, the Zimbabwean people, oh, they are so and so. And then I'm more likely to believe it, you know, because I see the separation more than what we have in common. And that's actually what helped me while observing both cultures and mentalities, that I could see so many similarities, and then also could see and say, oh my God, we human beings, we just have so much more in common. And then I also saw other cultures and nationalities and my friends, for example, like I have a huge group of friends which are like almost from all different countries. And I came to the point where I had to say, I feel like a world citizen. I don't feel really like Somali, but I'm also not a Swiss, you know. I'm really never one or the other. When I went to Somalia to rediscover my roots, 2016, they said, oh, you're European. I was like, no, man, I'm Black. I look like you, no. Obviously, they saw that I'm not 100% Somali, you know. And when I'm here, I'm like, yo, I'm Black. I'm not white. So I could never say I'm 100% Swiss. Obviously, I don't look like 100% Swiss. But there is, like, the Swiss culture mentality influenced me a lot. And I would say I'm both, or I'm a world citizen, but first line, I identify myself as a human being.
I love that. And that's the most important one. And I think if we all identify first as human, I think we would be so much better for it. I love that. Thank you for sharing that part of yourself. And, you know, it's certainly helpful for navigating in this world of dual identities or triple identities or, you know, whatever the passport you hold says, right? That's not really who you are. That's
what
your nationality is. But there's more to every one of us than that. I'd like to pivot a little bit with all your wisdom, the wisdom of a 90-year-old woman, I think you said earlier. What does your day-to-day job look like? What are you doing on a day-to-day? What does it mean to help develop people and their well-being and sustainability?
Yeah, so it's like kind of difficult to describe what I really do. But at the end of the day, I have like two jobs, and in the two jobs, I have actually the same job, which is counseling and guiding people to live out of their own potential. In my counseling job, through Mona Doubt Consulting or through Design Your Purpose, I guide people to really have room and space for themselves. And I offer questions, and then I give the time to go through these questions, you know. And that can differ from one subject to one another. Sometimes it's about purpose, finding your own purpose. Sometimes it's about learning to cultivate self-love. Sometimes it's about cultivating mindful practices in order to be mindful in your daily life. And that's work that I do in one-to-one coachings with people, but sometimes also in a group setting. And then there's like the more daily things that I have to do, writing emails, talking to people, finding a time to hold a workshop. And then in my second job, I counsel and guide young people who try to integrate themselves into the workplace. I work with them on their personal development through different means. One of the means is a course, a mindfulness training. Another means is helping them to develop a project where we go from A to Z, how to how to find an idea, where they want to develop, and then how to catch this idea and then make a service or a product out of it.
Right. I was going to say that the amazing thing is you have multiple ways of getting to one goal.
Absolutely.
Which is absolutely amazing, right? It speaks to the point we were talking about earlier as well, that, you know, there's different ways to getting to your objective, and you're certainly doing that. What drove you into this space and area, Mona?
Yeah, what drove me to that? So due to life experiences, I saw a lot in this world. And I was always asking myself, like, how can we lessen suffering on this planet? Like, you know, it's so difficult when you see the potential and then at the same time you see the misery. And then you're like, why are we human beings behaving this way when we could live in such a way? And I was like, am I dumb? Are we dumb? And I really saw the potential, the resources, and then at the same time, so much suffering, which was unnecessary. You know what I'm saying? And I was like, what can I do? Because I really don't feel like being sad and suffering because suffering exists. I want to do something against it because I don't want to, I didn't feel like sitting back and thinking, okay, there's suffering in this world. That's the way it is. I'm not going to do anything. That's just not my way. When I see a problem, I always think in solutions like, what can we do in order to solve this problem? Because there's never a problem without a solution. You know, this is the polarity where we live in. When there is a plus, there's a minus. Day and night, cold and hot. So when there's a problem, there's always a solution. And it just made me so freaking angry to see that people were suffering unnecessarily, you know.
Interesting.
So I was like, okay, good. What is really the problem? You know, why does this exist this way? And as we talked before, there are many different ways to Rome. You know, there are many different ways to Roma. You know
the song? Yeah, I'm gonna do a little sing and dance here.
And I thought about many different ways. I was like, okay, should I become a doctor? Should I go into, you know, economy and maybe become the CEO of a company to really have a huge impact? You know, what can I do? And then I figured out, oh, okay, wait a minute. I believe the problem is not the symptoms. The problem is way deeper. We really have to go to the roots. And the root is actually human behavior. Changing human behavior. So how do you change human behavior?
That is the million-dollar question. How do you do that?
How do you change human behavior? So there are also different things to that human behavior, like why do we behave the way we behave? And then when you ask this question, then you have your spirit, your mental world, you have your emotions, you have your body, you have your energy body. There are so many layers to a human being. You know, you have your history, your influences, your habits, your memories, your capacity, and also your potential. So for a long time, I was actually studying all these different facets of the human being in order to like figure out where can we start to resolve all these things, you know. So actually there's like no one way practice, but what I found out is that through personal development, changing your mindset and mindfulness, you can lead one person to make better choices. And through making better choices, we uplift the world. We uplift ourselves first, and then we uplift the people around us. And then it goes this way, you know.
So I love
like
that.
Like people have to understand, I can only change my own mind. I can only change my own behavior. I cannot save another person. I cannot save the whole world, you know. We have to stop giving people the fish. We have to teach the people how to fish.
I really love that. I really love that. I think there's just so many layers to what you're saying and how you can empower the individual to actually realize that that's essentially what it is. I especially love the part where you talked about how when you change yourself because of the contribution you make to society, you in turn change your society. And I suppose that's the way to get around to the world. And that reminds me very concretely of Ubuntu, right? Like the whole sense of oneness. So Ubuntu is a Bantu word for I am because we are. So it's an African sentiment and an African philosophy that speaks to our individual action affects the collective, and we are a community and we support each other. And so in Ndebele, the full saying is Umuntu ngumuntu ngabantu, which essentially means a person is a I love it as well. It's so amazing. It's just like, it means a person is a person because of other people and how we all contribute to the broader collective. So I really love the sentiments and what you've said. If you could tell us, what are some of like the challenges that you have faced in your journey, the obstacles that you have had to overcome that have helped you to get to where you are?
Many obstacles, really. Like, I didn't have an easy life. I faced many, many obstacles from my onwards, my childhood, actually. I had difficulties in adapting myself in a new culture. I had difficulties in belonging to a group because I was always, you know, the different kid. The kid with the different hair, the kid with the different skin color, the kid who was thinking differently, the loud kid, the energetical kid, the curious kid, the kid that was not behaving. I was always the other kid. And through that, I really had a lot of difficulties and obstacles. But something that I always felt was I was never beaten down because of that. Why? I don't know. I believe it's it's a gift or it's a strength that I came with into this world, because I don't believe like that our life starts with our body here in this world. Mm-hmm. And without this strength, actually, I don't know if I still would be alive. You know, and also even later, before I studied, I made an apprenticeship. You know, in Switzerland, we have something that we call apprenticeships. Right. Mm-hmm. So I did an apprenticeship. It was very hard. After that, I did something that we call matura here in Switzerland, because if you want to go to university, you have to do that. That was also very hard because I had to work beside it. I experienced racism. I was rejected many times for job applications, but it made me stronger because I always knew like nothing can actually kill me. The only thing that can kill me is when my time is up here, and I'm not here to waste my time, and I'm not here to get a no as an answer for some person who is a person like me. Who are you to tell me no? You tell me no, okay, I'm get out of here, I'm gonna walk and knock on the next door. I'm like that.
I love that. And it reminds me of yet another quote that I heard. I need to remember who said it, but it's like the fire that was supposed to destroy me is the fire that I'm using to light up the world, right? So the obstacles that I've gone through, they've shaped me into who I am. And because of that, I can make a bigger impact where I
am.
So it sounds like the story of your journey as well.
Absolutely. And I want to also say here, it's not that I don't have times when I'm like, oh, I had such a hard life. You know, I really sometimes have these moments where I'm like, God, please, why is my life this difficult? I just want to chill, you know? So it's not that I'm always strong. I'm always on top. I'm always full of energy. I also have these times where I'm like, oh, no, so hard.
And I think that's fair. I think each of us go through those moments. So we've heard about your journey, the path you've taken, the walks you've made, and I'm incredibly proud of you. I'm incredibly proud to know you. I'm incredibly proud to call you my friend. What are you most proud of?
I think I'm proud of going my own way despite of so many challenges. Because, you know, I have to say, I come from a very religious family. So, like, having my own head was not easy in such a family. They wanted me to be very religious and, you know, and I also understand why, and I love my family, but still to go my way and to have a beautiful relationship with them after a long fight and a long way of understanding is something that makes me proud, and also that shows me it is possible to break out of old patterns and still heal and still develop a beautiful relationship.
It's amazing that you're so strong in this way. I think some of the toughest battles that we have to fight start within our own family sometimes, because we're built in this unity sort of mindset where as a family, we're supposed to think the same for some reason, but we're all different individuals. And the day we allow each other to take whatever path it is we want to take, the day we become stronger families. But sometimes it takes a couple of years, a couple of fights even to get to that place where I accept you for who I am and you accept me for who I am. So now that that's the thing that you're most proud of, I am in turn proud of you for being able to navigate that and still build strong relationships with your family. We have just one more ask of you today. If you could leave us with three life lessons from your journey, whichever part of your journey, what would those be? What do you want us to remember? If we forget everything else we've talked about in the last half hour and we take away these three things, what are those?
Yeah, so I would say do whatever you're doing with love and kindness. People need kindness, really. Second, establish a mindful practice, meditation or breathing or yoga or journaling, something that helps you to become aware of your own choices and thinking patterns. And third, be kind.
I love that. Love, kindness, awareness, mindfulness. Mona, you are everything I wish for in a friend. So thank you so much for sharing your journey on the Raw Stories podcast today.
Thank you so much, Fungai. It was amazing to be part of your amazing podcast. And you are absolutely one of the women who inspired me. When I see your LinkedIn post, when I see what you're doing, I'm so inspired. And I'm just so happy to know another African woman who's like giving her best. I don't know, it just makes me proud to see that, you know.
Thank you. And to everybody that listened to the podcast today, thank you so much for tuning in once again. Please share this within your network, with your friends. If you love someone, share this podcast with them. They need to hear from our wonderful Mona. And until next time, bye.
This episode was proudly produced by Tom at Tom Lloyd Sounds, and his website is www.tomlloydsounds.com. Thank you, Tom. You're fantastic.